It was four Sundays ago that we were celebrating Pentecost, and so now we are clearly established in ordinary time, even though we had those two Sundays, those Easter epilogues of Trinity Sunday and Corpus Christi. So last Sunday, the green vestments returned, and we began to return to the regular cycle of readings, as opposed to the Easter readings or those special readings for Holy Trinity and Corpus Christi. Perhaps it'd be good to just do a quick little reminder of, in ordinary time, which we'll be in now through the end of November, how these readings work on a Sunday. First of all, the Gospel each year, those Gospel readings are semi-continuous readings from one Gospel. This year, we are hearing from the Gospel of Matthew. Back in February, when we left ordinary time, it was the Sermon on the Mount. What we heard last week and this week are part of the missionary dialogue that follows the Sermon on the Mount. Then the first reading is chosen to somehow illustrate from the Old Testament some aspect of the Gospel, right? And then that second reading is a semi-continuous reading from one of the letters of the New Testament. We're hearing from Romans. We'll be hearing from Romans until mid-September. So today we're going to leave Romans to the side because there'll be plenty of time to deal with Romans in the coming weeks and months. But we've got to take a look at that Gospel today. It's a challenging Gospel, a very challenging Gospel, not the kind of Gospel that you would want on a summer holiday weekend when families get together, right? It is challenging. What you need to keep in mind is that this piece of Matthew's Gospel is Jesus addressing the disciples as he's about to send them out on their missionary action. Remember last week it was what not to have fear of and what to have fear of. And so today he talks about the challenges and the consolations of being a disciple, of being on mission for Jesus. Let's go to the consolations first, and we're going to do that first because, like I said, that first reading takes something from the Old Testament that asks us to look at that specific part of the Gospel. In the Old Testament, we hear the story of the Shunammite woman who is very generous to the prophet Elisha. And because of this generosity, not because she likes him so much, but because he is a prophet, because of what he does, not because their personalities match, but because of what he does, she is very generous to him. And as a result of that generosity, she will have a child within a year. So those who welcome a prophet will get a prophet's reward. Jesus is consoling those he's sending out on mission by saying that there will be people who will welcome you. And when they welcome you, they welcome me and they welcome the Father. And it can be as little as just a cup of cold water. So that's consoling for the disciples, right? It's challenging for us. It's challenging for us to be aware of who are the prophets that we should be welcoming at this time. Who are those people that we welcome, not because we like them or they're our friends, but because of the work they do for God, we should welcome them in or at least give them a cup of cold water. And certainly on a 4th of July weekend, it's a time to think about all those people that the U.S. has welcomed in the past and the kind of welcome that we're giving to people at this time. But the authors of the lectionary, I think, kind of kicked the can down the road on this one by emphasizing the second half of the Gospel. It's the first half of the Gospel that is the really confusing and troubling part, isn't it? And actually, there is a section missing from what we heard last week to what we heard this week. It's a short section, but listen to what we didn't hear today. Do not think that I have come to bring peace upon the earth. I have come to bring not peace but the sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's enemies will be those of his household. That makes the Gospel reading even better, doesn't it, for a holiday weekend in the summer? What is going on with the Gospel today? What is Jesus saying to those he's about to send off on mission? First thing we need to do is get a sense of what family would mean in the ancient Near East. We have our own understandings of family, but in the ancient Near East, it was a lot more than kind of relationships. It had to do with one's existence. John Pilch, in an article that appears on the St. Louis University website, writes this: "The ancient Middle Eastern family was very large and quite extended. It consisted of a father and all his children, including the married sons with their entire families living in one place. The real consequences of leaving one's family are dire indeed. One not only gives up the basic claim to honor and status, but also loses all of the family's economic, religious, educational, and social connections as well. Perhaps most disastrous of all consequences is a loss of a connection to the land. These are all serious and life-threatening losses." All serious and life-threatening losses. That's, in fact, why the part that we didn't hear, that is actually a quote from the prophet Micah, talks about a father, a mother, a daughter-in-law, because the daughter-in-law would be living in the household with the son of the family. So the family was absolutely crucial. It was the way that you got your identity and also your security in the ancient world. Not so much today. It was even more important back then. So what is Jesus saying to his disciples? What I would suggest to you is to think of it this way. Think of this not as prescriptive, not what Jesus is telling his disciples to do, but think of it as descriptive. Think of it what is actually happening to the people who are following Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew was most likely written for the Christian community in Antioch. The Christian community in Antioch was composed of Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, and there were great tensions between those two groups. Not only that, those Jewish Christians in that Christian community in Antioch had friends and family who were still Jews in Antioch, and there were tensions there. What I propose for you to think about is what Jesus is talking here about, these tensions and ruptures in the family structure are not something that he is necessarily advocating, but he's talking about the reality of what his disciples were facing, that there were great struggles in their families, whether they had left a Jewish family or whether Jewish Christians dealing with Gentiles. There were great struggles that cut families in half, cut families into smaller pieces. That was a reality for the audience that Matthew was writing for. In a strange way, what we hear today to their ears might have sounded more consoling than it does challenging. Because after he talks about the family structure rupturing because of Jesus, which was for a lot of them their experience, then he says that this is your cross. Pick up your cross and follow me. Even though the crucifixion is way down the road, in essence, what Matthew, the author, is saying to those who are facing that struggle is, it is through this very struggle of your family breaking apart that you share in the passion of Jesus. This is how you carry your cross. Rather than being a challenge, this could also have been a way of consoling those who faced this reality. So for us, what might that mean? Certainly, unless there are teenagers here who want to leave mother and father and all the rest behind today, it's not prescriptive about what you must do. What I suggest is, like for that early Christian community of Matthew, perhaps this causes you to look at your life, to look at your life where there have been ruptures, where there are disruptions, and if that has been occasioned by the fact that you come here on Sunday, that you are a follower of Jesus, perhaps that is the cross that you are carrying, and you may not even recognize it. While certainly Jesus is challenging all of us to think about more than we can do, it's also a challenge, I think, to look at our lives in a new way, to see where those challenges we have encountered might be the result of the fact that brings us here every Sunday. And if they are, we don't have to go out searching for crosses. What we need to do is recognize those crosses that we are already carrying. for then we will understand more clearly. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Let us profess our faith using the Nicene Creed. It's in the first page of the hymnal. I believe in one God, Father Almighty.